Hi guys, welcome to Rock Life Podcast. And so my name is Pastor Paul. I have Pastor Brian today. And so our regular host, Pastor Antonio and Pastor Dan, they're out working on stuff this week. So hey, you got us. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
And so today we just want to talk and share our hearts on not two topics, but I think one topic that mixes both. As we're leaning into Easter coming up in a couple weeks, I think is very powerful, the idea that was placed in our pastor's heart, which is the idea and the thought of the prodigal son, not just reaching those who are coming new into the Lord, but those who've tasted, Hebrews says, those who've tasted the goodness, those who've tasted God and then walked away. How do we get them back? What does it mean to do that? And we're studying right now Romans 8. And Romans 8 is absolutely powerful. There's so many truth, but Romans 8, 17 and 18, which is where our pastor has introduced us. I'll read it for us to be on the same page as we talk. Romans 8, 17, and New Living Translation says, "And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share his suffering." So that establishes a purpose for what we're about to do. Yet, 18 says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." And I love, and the other version says, if we consider our suffering, then yeah, we would see what I consider what's about to come in the middle of suffering. So, Pastor Brian, tell us where you are in this story as we combine these two thoughts. I know your story is amazing. If you've never heard of it or seen him preach about it, just what God did in his life, rescuing from, you know, near death and addiction to what he's become now, a man of God. Just powerful combining these two stories and ideas of suffering and returning to the Lord.
Yeah, you know, prodigal son is one of my favorite stories. Being a prodigal, I think all of us in some form or fashion has, but I think growing up, especially with my mom, she took me to church and did the best job that she could to give me a really good life. But I chose a different life and chose to go into the world and got hooked on drugs. Like you said, almost dead, two heart attacks by the time I was 19 years old, wow, homeless, ended up getting arrested. And, you know, it wasn't until I realized that unfailing love from God, that even though I pushed myself so far away, that he was still there with me, calling awesome me home. And
your story is amazing, but you said two things that I want to highlight.
Yeah.
I love how both times you said, meaning you're taking responsibility for part of your suffering.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of times when we talk about suffering and returning to Christ, people tend to deflect. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't people that have suffered on behalf. Others have cost you suffering, so yeah, I want to be clear with that. But I love the fact that in your story you're saying, hey, man, I made these choices and walked away from the situation. So go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, you know, talking about that, I think that's something so interesting. I think a lot of times what we think as Christians, we expect, even though we make decisions and we walk away and poor decisions, we come running back to God. And it's almost like we get that clean slate as far as, you know, we're no longer bound by those things. But it doesn't mean that there's not consequences for the decisions that we make.
Right.
And we get frustrated with God because that suffering is there. And we're like, God, why didn't you just remove it all? You know, so many times we've done things to our body and then we start to have aches and pains. It's like, why do I have to deal with this? I thought I was healed. Well, we did things to our body that we shouldn't have done. Correct. And so there are consequences. Can God heal those things? Absolutely.
Right.
But there are decisions that we have to make. And so I gave my heart and life over to Jesus Christ. And obviously he welcomed me back. And I think even realizing that, going into talking about suffering, there are decisions that we have to make in Christ Jesus. There's easy ways out. And there's hard decisions in order to fulfill the plan and the purpose that God has called. Pastor That's Dan good. Talked about it this weekend. You know, Paul the Apostle, God told Ananias, I will show him the things that he has to suffer
yeah
for my sake.
Yeah.
And so there's suffering that comes with that. And God works all things together because nothing compares to the reward that's waiting for us, right?
Yeah.
But understanding that once I got saved, it doesn't mean, okay, now everything's going to be clear. And I think this is as Christians where we get so lost in thinking that, okay, now I have this smooth road ahead of me and everything from this point forward is going to be so easy.
Yeah.
And nowhere in the Bible does it promise that, because we focus so much on the promises of God, but we don't focus at all on, and when I say we, I'm talking about, you know, sometimes our majority of our reading is that word of the day, yeah. right? So you get this word of the day. Well, the word of the day is supposed to encourage you, right?
right.
So we read that pumped. As like, yeah, nothing compares to the glory that's awaiting. And you're like, yeah, if you suffer the way that he suffered.
Yeah.
You know, we forget about those portions of scripture. And so we get so lost when pressure comes and we feel like, man, how is it that I'm going to be able to get through this? God, where are you at? Why are you even, yeah. you know, we forget about in order to be healed that we first have to be sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In order to have a testimony, that means you have to overcome something in order to receive that testimony. Correct. But what I loved about this message this last weekend, especially, it's just, it puts the focus back and saying, guys, look, they're going to be hard times. Mm. Like, this is a scripture that I think everybody wants to, like Pastor Dan, like erase it, right?
Correct.
Just white it out, pretend like we never have to suffer, pretend like it's not there. But the good thing about spending time and focusing on it is we can identify, hey, this is going to happen. And all of us can look and say, man, what is it that I'm dealing with in my life right now?
Right.
Right. right. Whether it's the economy, whether it's inflation, whether it's, you know, family members, maybe a prodigal that we're believing God for, that's like, man, why are they not getting it?
Correct.
And we could say, you know, I'm in this place. God, are you even hearing me in this right. moment?
Right.
But if I can sacrifice and suffer in this moment and continue to trust God in one of the hardest places of my life, what's the glory that's waiting? And not just heaven, right?
Right.
Even though that's, if it was just heaven, yeah. that's worth it, right?
right?
But God wants to bring us through here on it because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen.
And how is God going to use that to even bless other people?
That's
so
right.
I think that's so important.
It's crazy because, you know, you mentioned the verse in the Apostle Paul goes and says, you know, Ananias tells him, hey, what he would suffer in the age of social media, in the age of what we do, where we only post our best moments, we could actually ignore this idea and only highlight Paul's best moments where he, you know, overcame in the Areopagus and he showed his theological knowledge by bringing people to Christ and he resurrected somebody. I mean, the guy was just mighty, but then you can ignore the process of suffering he went through. And this is why I want to bring the topic of considering. I focused on that verse when Pastor Dan gave me to study that verse. I said, I was so drawn by that word because to me, with the story of the prodigal son, as we're leading into Easter for this idea and this thought, is the two ideas are, for me, phenomenal. When the talks about the prodigal son, I've always been captured by the thought that he said, and he came to his senses. So that was number one. And then Romans 8 says, when you consider this,
that's good.
So there's an idea that at some point I have to react in my mind and in my soul and see where I'm at. One, he reconsidered. He came to himself and says, what am I doing in this filth? What am I doing in this addiction and nonsense? I mean, I'm just causing trouble everywhere. So let me go back to this other process in my life, you know? And then in Romans 8 said, hey, you're suffering, but if you consider, here's the glory. So you can think your way into God out of these situations. And that's kind of, I think for a lot of us, we have to pause. And I love that because unless you pause, you're not going to evaluate correctly. And I think in a world like we live in where everybody's rushing to the next thing, people don't pause and just go, you know what? What is this all about? What is God getting? What is God going to do in my life through this? When you consider this, I share this a little, Pastor, in a conversation, even with Jesus in Hebrews says that, you know, for the joy set before him. So here's Jesus' consideration. I'm suffering at 70. I'm suffering so bad that my sweat turns to blood. But then Hebrews writes, because he was considering the joy ahead of him, he endured this thing.
Yeah.
To me, consideration is one of those things. What are the things that you in your life, bringing this change into your life that you said, man, I had to consider these things to get out of this way or enter into this?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm as you were talking, I was even thinking about when Melissa, my wife, and I first were dating, right? Mm. So Melissa got pregnant before we were ever married, found out I was having a son, and I wanted a life for my son that was far different than the life that I had. I didn't want him to have to bump his head on the same things that I bumped my head on. And so in my prayer time, God, what will this look like? And I remember my stepdad, Steve, had challenged me and came to me and says, hey, you know, you want God involved in this child's life. You want God involved in your relationship, but you're in sin.
Mm.
You know, obviously Melissa was pregnant and we weren't married, right?
Right.
So you're in sin. And so you got to figure out if you want God involved in it, then you need to make some decisions you have to consider, right? Mm. And I remember it was like there were even having to come, because when I first brought this idea up to Melissa, she's like, I'm 18 years old. I don't want to get married. I got my whole life ahead of me, right? And so she had to consider, because here's where the rubber met the road. It's like, well, listen, I want my son to have what I didn't have. So we either need to get married or we need to separate. Because continuing in sin is the option that we can't have.
Correct.
Right? And so, but with that, we had to consider what are the weighing out the pros and the cons, right? And understand, well, if I want God involved in this, I can continue to do what's easy, what my flesh wants. Or I can consider, this is what God's word says. So if I want him involved in this situation, then I'm going to involve him in this situation. I'm going to do it God's way. And so both of us had to make a choice in that moment to do something that we weren't really ready to do. Right. And I'm not saying that everybody just needs to go get married. But what I am saying is we got to stop sinning. Right. Correct. And it changed the trajectory of our life. And there was a lot of stuff. Now we're married. We're young. I had to work multiple jobs in that season to try to make ends meet. I couldn't just go to school, do all the things that I wanted to do in that moment. I had to make some drastic changes, but it was to do the will of God in that moment to continue to live in righteousness instead of in sin. And these things, I mean, all throughout our marriage, we've had to do these, even working at the church. I've shared from the pulpit multiple times. I never felt like I was called to be a pastor. I had different ideas, different ambitions, different things that I wanted to do, but I had to consider the call. God was very clear on what he wanted me to do, even though my desire was to do something else. Right. And you shared this, Pastor Powell.
Right.
You went to school. You had a really good job, a really good profession,
right?
Where you could have made some really good money, but you had to consider.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
What is God asking you to do? God asking you to lay at the altar? And I think this is where a lot of times we fall short, because we want God to get involved in things and we consider. We know what we need to do.
Right.
Right? I want God involved in my relationship. Well, I got to stop having sex out of wedlock.
Correct.
Well, then, but if I do that, I might lose the person that I love.
Right.
So I'm going to choose to continue to submit myself to sin and walk away from the things that God's asking me to do, because I'm afraid of losing a relationship.
Right.
And when we consider whether you make the right decision or the wrong decision, right? And we choose to make these bad decisions so much. The sad part is we hold God accountable for the considerations that we made.
Yeah, Proverbs, I think 19 says a verse like that. It says the fool makes its own decision and then gets mad at God.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just like, we do that. But I love what you're saying on the topic of these decisions and, you know, talking about in our society, pro-life and pro-choice in many ways that comes into the point of suffering you know, I want to bring this up, not to be controversial in any way, but to bring the truth of God. I mean, you and Pastor Melissa had a decision to make, which it was, hey, we're young. She's 18. She's pregnant. You're coming out of struggling with addiction. I mean, you have all the framework to say this child shouldn't be born in this condition.
Well,
and you guys chose different. That's amazing to me.
I mean, in saying that, at the time, so when Melissa and I were first coming back to church, none of our friends were saved.
Mm.
I was working at Burger King, right? No driver's license, no car. My license was revoked. I was on felony probation, making about $800 a month.
Mm.
And I'm finding out that I'm gonna have a baby. Every single one of my friends told me that we should have an abortion.
Wow.
There's no reason why I am not in a place to bring a child into this world.
Wow.
And I had to make a decision that I was gonna trust God enough. And was it hard? Absolutely, it was hard, right? Yeah. Were there sacrifices that had to be made? Absolutely.
Correct.
There were sacrifices that had to be made. But when I see my boy, I mean, it was worth every bit of sacrifice that goes into it.
Yeah.
Nothing is compared to the glory that's ahead, right?
Yeah.
And you see, like I said, you get to see that fruit now. But I think, that we live in this world right now. This is an easy decision.
Correct. Correct.
We just don't have a child right now.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, verse 17 Romans just said it. If we're co-heirs with Christ, we'll enjoy of the inheritance if we choose to suffer.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing in our society right now that we need to bring back. Not suffering for the purpose of just suffering to punish ourselves, but for the fact that we embrace the truth of God, that sometimes the truth of God brings suffering to our flesh, to our comfort. And just so you guys know, Aiden's an amazing young man. He's part of our media technical team here at church. And so God has done great things with him, still working with him. So that's powerful. And people ought to know that, because I don't think people understand that when I choose the truth of God, is what you said, is not always, oh, the promises are so wonderful. There is a process to embrace the truth of God. But in the end, the Bible clearly makes that there'll be glory here and in the age to come.
Jesus
said, whatever you abandon everything, there'll be a price here and there'll be a price in the age to come. And so that is so crucial. Here's some sufferings that I saw. And I think, you know, when you bring in the story of the prodigal son, like my wife highlighted this for me when I preached a couple weeks ago. She said, for example, there's one that says, if you forgive and you know, if you lend to the one that cannot repay you, then you are like your father, meaning talking about God. And so what are the things that you have done or have to do where it's contrary to kind of your flesh, our normal reaction, but you want to say, I want to be more like God, so I'm choosing these things. Well, like, you know, people that are watching and listening to this, where they're saying, Pastor, how do I do that in my daily walk? How do I embrace this thing of saying, okay, I want to partake with the glory, but what does that mean embracing in my life, the suffering or the idea behind it?
Yeah, I think, a lot of times we like to stand behind our own personality traits and use those as a shield or an excuse to say, well, this is how God made me, so he's going to use me in this way. And it's like, you know, being a natural introvert. I remember I love being by myself. I could be by myself all day, every day. And so what does God do? He puts me in the food distribution with 1,000 people every time we distribute food.
Right.
And it's like, oh, you want to be by yourself? Here you go. I'm going to surround you with people. And I had to learn. You know, it's funny.
So you're not moving to that farming whatever you're going?
No, I got to stop watching shows with Montana and Wyoming in it because I want to go real bad. But, you know, it's funny. So he puts me in these areas. And I had to learn. You know, one of the things I always love to say is when I first started working here at the church, I really thought I loved people. And then God puts me around a bunch of people, and I learned real quickly I love the thought of loving people. But people are hard to love.
Right.
And so, but I had
that
to.
That should be a t-shirt. Yeah.
I love the thought of loving people. Yeah. But it's interesting because here now again, now putting myself out, and then on top of that, because people you can't say you're an introvert. I know you.
Right.
It's like, you don't know how hard I work to put a smile on my face, engage into conversation, and put myself out there. And even how about this, letting walls down and allowing myself to be vulnerable. Correct. so that people can have conversations with me. Because if God's going to use me, then I got to get outside of myself.
Right.
Right. Is it easy? Does it feel sometimes when you have to put yourself, when we want to just lock ourselves away and, you know, you look at Jesus, hey, I'm going to go on the boat. I'm going to go get alone with prayer. Oh, all these people are coming right now and they need me. Okay. I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to do some healing. I'm going to make sure they're fed. Then I'm going to get alone and pray.
Right.
Did I want to get away before that? Of course.
Correct. Yeah.
But I'm going to trust what God is putting in front of me right now to know that this is something that I got to deal with.
Right.
And I think in our everyday life, these are things that we have to learn to get outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, well, I can't minister to somebody at the grocery store because I'm not good at talking to people. Okay, Moses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, I can't lead the children of Israel. I have a problem talking. God says, "Who gave you your tongue?"
Correct. Created. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for sure. You're over here saying that you can't do it.
Right.
If you could do it without the grace of God, then he wouldn't, you know, then he's not getting the glory. But what if God is using your weakness in that moment to show the world his unfailing power, especially for all the people in our lives that do know us, that know, man, I can't speak in front of people. Growing up in high school, I took a zero on every single class participation where I had to speak in front of people. I'm not reading my report in front of anybody. I can't talk in front of people.
Wow.
So God says, okay, preach.
Right.
I said, God, when's that going to get easier? He says, when it does, I find somebody else.
Yeah.
Because he wants me to be fully dependent on him.
On him. Correct.
You know? And so again, are we willing, as we're looking at all of the things that God has asked us to do, he's not asking us to do what's comfortable. Mm. He's asking us to do what's necessary. He's asking us to do what's going to give him glory.
Yeah.
He's asking us to step outside of ourselves, our flesh,
right,
and step into his grace and his ability so that we can fulfill all the things that he has. And here we come up to Easter, mm, right? We're given this opportunity to invite someone to church. I was thinking about this because I wrote some names on there, and then, and the rubber hit the road when Pastor Dan said, okay, now figure out how you're going to invite them to church.
Yeah.
And it's like, in my mind, as soon as he said it, I thought of all the awkward, how awkward that conversation is going to be.
Right, right.
But it's necessary.
Hey, your name is on a cross at my church?
I was like, that started weird.
Yeah. Hey, prodigal, I have an assignment to bring you to church so that you can get saved.
I need a grade, so you're coming to church. Yeah. No, but, you know, are you addressing this? What would be, so we saw a story of the prodigal that says that he, you know, he came to his senses, but I always feel like there was things that when he came to his senses that he said, like, hey, there's something better at my father's house. There was things that lean him back. Would you tell the people that are watching, and even what were the things in your life that you felt as a prodigal that when you reconsider your life that you felt, I can go back because of these things? Because I think people, if their son, maybe they're you know, it's a mom or dad saying, hey, I want my son or daughter to come back. Like the son, the prodigal immediately thought, you know, even people low, the servants at my father's house do better than me in this condition. So he already understood, I can go back to something better. What are those things that people can consider or tell or pray for so that that happens in their lives?
Yeah, you know, specifically talking about if like parents or relatives or somebody, you know, one of the things that as I was out there in the world doing what I shouldn't have been doing, you know, my mom was believing God that I was going to come back to the Lord and praying for me day and night. And Psalms 127 is, dear pants for water, so does Brian's heart pant for you, my God. And she prayed that over. And I remember there was a, I'm sorry, Psalms 42. There was a moment though that, you know, when my mom had always been there to bail me out. Mm. In this moment, she wasn't there to bail me out. Hmm. However, she still loved me. Right. And I think there was something that happened when I realized that the love was always there. And I think that that's where, you know, sometimes we feel like we have to just bail people out in order to show them love. You don't have to bail them out, but you got to continue to love them.
Yeah.
You have to continue to make sure that they know that you're praying for them in that season. You got to make sure that they know that you're not judging them in their circumstances. And I think even as a prodigal, when I came to my senses, you know, and if there's any prodigals watching, one of the things that I had to come to the realization about was, even if I was judged by everybody else, it didn't matter because God was accepting me back in. And I think that's one of the hardest things to overcome as a prodigal. Wow. I've made all of these mistakes. And when I show back up, just like the prodigal's brother, right?
Right.
What are you doing, man? I've been here this whole time and you're right. giving him the fattened calf. Like, what's right. that about?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And it's like, dude, you already got everything.
Yeah.
So here the brother is judging, but here's the dad. Right. The dad's here and he's saying, hey, man, I'm welcoming you back home.
Yeah.
And we have to understand the world is going to judge. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people that are going to look, oh, where have you been
right.
coming back to church?
Right.
Get that out of your mind and stop letting that keep you from coming back to church.
Correct.
Because those are the strongholds that's going to keep you from fulfilling what God has. And we have to understand that God's unfailing love.
Yeah.
See, he no longer, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be suffering. It doesn't mean there's not going to be. So part of that suffering is knowing that people are judging you in that process.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
listen, I'm going to trust God enough to know that if he's wiped the slate clean for me, that he's going to get me through all of this. And, you know, and I took a lot of this as a challenge. Look, I'm going to prove to the world that God's word is true. So even though it's going to take me some time, even though I'm going to have to clean all this stuff up, even though I'm going to have to identify all of these things and I'm going to have to do something about it, and it's going to be difficult, I'm going to show the world the goodness of God that I have fully surrendered. And at the end of the day, if I lose everybody else, but I keep him, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, as a prodigal, we have to remember that it's not about whether the world accepts us back in. It's all about that Jesus has already done that.
That's
and
right.
so I think that's the biggest thing that we have to consider. And then parents and brothers and sisters and coworkers and all of that. You know, we don't have to be abused by people. And we don't have to allow people to take advantage of us, and we don't have to allow people in order to share love with them.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we think, well, I have to do this for them. I have to do this. One of the best things that my mom ever did for me was tell me I couldn't come back home.
I love that. I love that.
Because it was in that moment that I had to really I could no longer depend on my mom, but I had to depend on God.
Man, Pastor Brian, let's end it right there on the thought you brought in. The thought was that his mother loved him and kept that door open. So if you're a prodigal, if you know somebody, if you're praying for somebody, keep the door open. Know that when they reconsider, they're going to come back. And so we want to encourage you that way. And even if you are suffering, if you're going through difficulties this month, then whatever is happening right now, remember that word, consider this. When Jesus consider, when people consider, hey, what God is doing, then all of a sudden they can embrace whatever's coming their way. So I want to encourage you. Connect with us starting this Sunday. Easter is going to be amazing. Palm, you get more information on our website. We want to see you around. Bring somebody with you because we're believing and praying that there's a lot of people who tasted the goodness of God, walked away from it, and we're saying, hey, reconsider and come back because God loves you and wants the best for you. So, hey, connect with somebody. Connect us. Say hi to us in church. We want to see you here, and we love you. Have a great week.